Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Supporting Actor of the Week podcast. This week we're going to take a look at one of the minor characters from the story of Shimshon. The story of Shimshon is full of intriguing characters, not the least of which is Shimshon himself, of course. And the story itself is also full of intrigue and questions, schemes and plotting, riddles and unanswered questions, and perhaps, most important, the telling or withholding of information. These themes appear right from the beginning of the story with the appearance of an Ish Elokim, right? A, quote, man of God, who in this case is actually a malach, right? Man, Ish Elokim can mean in some cases a Navi, in some cases a malach, a source of confusion in the story, actually. In this case, he is actually a malach, an angel, who appears to the wife of Manoach and then to Manoach himself, the mother and father of Shimshon. The story begins, of course, in Perek Yud Gimel, chapter 13 of the book of Shoftim. We are told that there is a man from Tzorah, from Shevet Dan, whose name is Manoach, and his wife, whose name we are not told, is Akara. She is barren and has not had a child. Vayira malach Hashem el ha'isha, vayomer ilah, hinei na at Akara, v'lo yaladet v'harit v'yaladet ben. Right, behold, the malach Hashem says to the woman, right? He appears first to the woman by herself. Behold, you are barren and you have not had a child. If you do the following, v'ata hishamri na v'al tishti yain v'shechar v'al tochli kol tamei, right? Do not drink anything that has to do with wine, or eat anything that is tamei. Because hinacharav yaladet ben umorala lo yaaleh rosho, behold, you are going to have a child, and a razor cannot go up onto his head, meaning his head cannot be shaven. Ki nazir Elohim yiyah nar min habeten v'hu yachel lehoshiat Yisrael miyad plishtim. Because the child will be a nazir of God, from the time that he is in your womb, and he will begin to be a Moshia, a savior for Yisrael from the hands of the Plishtim. Right? That is what this Malach says to the wife of Manoach. Vatavo Aisha, Vatomer Leisha, Lemor Isha Elohim Va'elai. Right, the woman comes and says, "An Isha Elohim." Right, she doesn't say Malach; she says Isha Elohim. Comes to me, and his Mar'eh, his appearance is like that of a Malach Elohim, is like an angel. Right, but apparently she thinks that's just his appearance, but that he's actually a human being. Nora meod, v'lo she'iltiu ei mizehu v'hu v'etshemo lo higidli. Right, I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not offer me his name. And he told me the following: hinachara, you behold, you will become pregnant, v'yaladet ben, and you will have a son. V'ata al tishti yain v'shechar v'al tochli kol tuma. Right, do not drink wine. Do not eat anything tamei. Ki nazir Elohim yiyah nar min habeten ad yom moto, because the child will be a nazir of God from the time he is in your womb until the day that he dies. Two significant. Continue a little bit more. Sorry. Then Manoach prays that the Malach should appear again. Remember, he has not yet seen this Malach, this Ish Elokim. The Malach appears once again to his wife when she's in the field. She runs and gets Manoach, and Manoach asks for a little bit of further explanation. And the Malach basically says, "Well, do whatever it is that I already told your wife," and that's basically what you have to do. And then Manoach says, "Why don't you stay with us for a bit, and we will bring to you before you a gedi izim, right? Some sort of meal." With which people will make a sacrifice and serve you this meal. Vayomer Malach Hashem el Manoach, im ta'atzreini lo uchal milachmecha. Right, if you cause me to stop here, I will not eat from your food, from your bread. Right, if this is a korban, then you should be giving it to God. Right, but if not, if you're giving me a meal, then I'm not going to eat from your food. Ki lo yada Manoach ki Malach Hashem hu. Right, Manoach did not realize that this was a Malach. Vayomer Manoach el Malach Hashem, Mishmecha, right, what is your name? Right, who are you? What is your name? Ki avo devarcha v'chibadnucha, right, again, thinking once again that he's talking to a prophet, a man of God in that sense. he says, who are you? So that when this prophecy becomes true, that I can properly pay you. I can give you what's due to you for giving me us this truthful piece of information. Vayomer lo malach Hashem, lama ze tish'al lishmi vehu feli. Right? The malach Hashem says to him, why are you asking me my name? It is feli. It is, we'll go more into this in a moment, but it is mufla. It is something that is wondrous. Right? Do not ask me what my name is. I won't tell it to you. And then Manoach takes the Gedi Izim, and he brings a korban on the rock, and then it says umafli lasot, right? The malach does a wondrous thing, and he goes up in the fire and disappears. And that is basically. And then the story ends. This part of the story ends that they suddenly realize that this was actually a malach Hashem, and they're afraid they're going to die. Manoach's wife says, no, it can't be that we're going to die for seeing a malach of Hashem, because why would he have appeared to us in the first place and told us all these things that he told us, etc., etc., if he was just going to kill us? That doesn't make any sense. And then Vatelet Haisha Ben Vatikrat Shemo Shimshon, right? She gives birth to Shimshon. Vaigdal Hanar Vayivarcheu Hashem. The child grows up and Hashem blesses him. Vatachel Ruach Hashem Lefa'amo. Right, Hashem begins to move him. So, in the area where he lived, Ben Sarah Uven Ishtaol. Okay, a lot of interesting things here. Two significant things that I want to point out. Firstly, I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that Manoach's wife reports to Manoach that this Ish Elohim does not tell her his name. And she did not ask where he was from, right? In essence, right, that they do not know really who he is. This point is even more blatant later on, right, when it's clear that Manoach and his wife do not even realize that this Ish Elohim is a malach. They don't understand who it is at all, right? They think he is a human whose mar'eh, whose appearance is that of a malach, but they think that he is actually an Ish Elohim, a prophet. And when trying to understand who this individual is, who has been speaking to him, Manoach, right, as we read, inquires as to his name. And the Malach answers, as we saw, Lama ze tish'al lishmi vehu peli. The Ish Elohim is hinting to Manoach and to his wife that, you know, that which that they have not yet figured out, right? That he is actually a Malach, right? That he is not a human, right? My name, my essence, this Malach is telling them, is peli. It is wondrous. It is mysterious. Right? And more to the point, it is beyond you, right, Manoach, and even beyond Mrs. Manoach, right, despite her being slightly more on the ball than her husband, right? Why are you asking me to reveal to you that which cannot be revealed? My essence is beyond you. It is wondrous, right? It's not something that you can understand, right? And I cannot reveal it fully to you. And you have to understand that. What you should, however, get, and the story is poking fun at Manoach and his wife here a little bit, is the fact that I'm a malach and not a human, right? Not a human man of God, right? That's what you should be getting here, right? And you're not, right? That fact keeps eluding you, and it continues to elude them until, right, the malach eventually evaporates himself in the fire of the sacrifice which Manoach and his wife had brought. Only then do they understand, right, who this is that is before them. So here we have an example with the malach of what information is it that Manoach and his wife should know, should receive, and what they shouldn't know, right? They should know that this is a malach, that they should understand, that they should figure out. What they don't need to know is his essence, his name, right? Which is wondrous and mysterious and beyond them. The second example of revealing and not revealing information in this part of the story with the Ish Elohim has to do with the information that the malach gives to Manoach's wife. The malach tells her, when he first appears to her, what it is that she has to do, you know, when she is pregnant with this child and when the child is growing up. And she repeats this information to Manoach, but she does not repeat everything. She leaves out three significant things. Number one, she leaves out that what the Malach first said, that she is an Akara. Behold, you are an Akara and have not had children. She leaves out the fact that he says, "V'hu yachel lohoshia et Yisrael," that he will, that this child who is going to be born will be a Moshiach, a savior of Yisrael. And finally, she leaves out one prohibition of the few that the Malach gives, that he is not allowed to shave his head. Now, one might think that her words to Manoach are simply a summary, right, and so as not to weary the reader with repetitiveness. Perhaps, right, it's possible. But nevertheless, it's hard not to recognize that what is omitted is significant. The significance of her omitting that he cannot shave his hair is obvious, right, since that is the piece of information which is critical to his downfall later on in the story, when he lets Delilah know that his long hair, his not cutting his hair, is what gives him his strength, and therefore that's what, and therefore she cuts his hair, and that's what takes his strength away from him. But no less significant is the omission of the fact that he was born to a barren mother, and that he will be a savior, right? Because these point to the very essence of what Shimshon was meant to be, the very things which give him his strength and his power, right? He is the miracle baby, right? So many significant children are born to barren mothers in Tanakh because somehow they are seen to be special and significant, literally a gift from God from the very beginning. That this child who almost wasn't born will be a Moshiach. Right, that is the whole purpose of his significance, of his strength, and of his power. There's this a wonderful article on Shimshon by Avraham Kariv, and he describes the story of Shimshon as a hut which has a beautiful facade, meaning something which is very disappointing, very simple, right, the hut, behind this wonderful and beautiful facade, right? The story begins with such expectations, right? But what becomes of Shimshon? He ultimately fails because he doesn't realize that his strength, that the whole miracle of his long hair, is all for a purpose, right? He does not see himself as the gift of Hashem, who is the divinely appointed Savior, and so he ultimately does not fulfill that mission. His father, by the way, also fails to see this later on. When Shimshon wants to marry a plishti woman from Timna, right, his parents disapprove. And the story, you know, somewhat oddly tells us that his parents don't understand that this is from Hashem. Right, and it seems a little strange because, you know, why would his parents understand that his marrying someone from the Plishtim would be from Hashem? But what that pasuk is saying is that in order to understand Shimshon's purpose, it was necessary to understand his life through the lens of divine purpose. By failing to do so, Shimshon and his parents ultimately lead to Shimshon's failure. So one wonders how much of this has to do with a de-emphasis from the very beginning of those critical pieces of information. The Malach then serves as a sort of foil to Shimshon, as well as a warning to Shimshon and his parents. The Malach essentially tells Manoach and his wife, what you need to know is that I am a divine messenger, that my authority comes exclusively from Hashem. The exact nature of what I am, what my name is, what makes me tick, that's TMO. That's none of your business. And the Malach is TMI, sorry. None of your business. And the Malach is hinting that this is how Shimshon should operate as well, right? That he should operate under the premise that he's a divine messenger, that all of his power derives from God. The whole purpose of his being a Nazir is that it should be a constant reminder to him of this. And that is the information that he needs to let everybody know. What they don't need to know is the details, the inner workings, how it actually happens that he has this power, right? And when Shimshon forgets the former and reveals the latter, he finds himself stripped of his divine power. So the story of Shimshon, which is hinted to by the sub-story of the Malach, is all about telling and not telling, knowing what to reveal and when to reveal it and what not to reveal, what to emphasize and what not to emphasize. And that this is the theme of the whole story, of the story of Shimshon, is hinted to by the fact that the verbs to tell and not to tell. Higid and Lohigid appear no less than 23 times in the story of Shimshon. Now, if that does not sound impressive, I should perhaps add that in the entire Sefer Shoftim, the verb Higid appears a total of 28 times, meaning that there, in addition to the story of Shimshon, there it appears just an additional 5 times in the entire Sefer Shoftim. So that the concentration of these verbs, higid, lo higid, to tell or not to tell, to reveal, to not to reveal, appears a disproportionate number of times in the Book of Shimshon, right? Clearly hinting to us that this is a theme of the story. The connection between the Malach and Shimshon, that the Malach serves as a warning to Shimshon as to what he should do, or what he has to do, is hinted to by the response that the Malach gives to Manoach when Manoach asks for his name. Lama ze tish'al lishmi v'hu peli. My name is wondrous and lofty and mysterious and none of your business. This same root is repeated in the next verse when the Malach goes up in the fire of the Korban. Umafli la'asot, right? It's the story first tells us that the Malach then did something wondrous, and then the pasuk after that explains that the wondrous thing was that he went up into the fire of the korban. The verb, meaning that the wondrous nature of the malach, which we see in the example of him going up in the fire of the korban, right, is connected to the previous pasuk, which said, "You cannot know my name, my true essence, because it is peli, because it is wondrous itself." Now, this verb, right, mafli peli, is not used sadly in describing Shimshon, but it does appear in a significant related pasuk. The passage which begins the laws of Nazir in Parshat Naso in the book of Bamidbar begins Ish o isha ki yafli lindor neder, right? A man or a woman who are mafli to make an oath, right, to become a Nazir. Now, translating yafli in this sentence is very difficult and is actually subject to much debate among the Mefarshim. Some possibilities: when a man or a woman acts exceptionally, or acts wondrously, or distinguishes him or herself. It's hard to pinpoint exactly how to translate it, but nevertheless, the appearance of this verb in the Shimshon story hints to the message of the Malach that the Malach gave to Shimshon and his parents, right? That the purpose of the Nazir, right, is to distinguish himself, to act wondrously, right? And all of this as a representative of Hashem, right? As a messenger of sorts of Hashem. Right? And failure to recognize this, of course, is what ultimately will lead to Shimshon's failure.